Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially verse 32. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. It is true. The appreciation of good news is measured by how big a relief it is from the bad news that came before it. Think about how that plays out in life. How much of a relief it is after a while of bearing up under misfortune when the good finally comes along. Think about how writers use that truth and how they build up the threat. So the threat reaches a climax before they spring the sudden relief. Blackhawks fans, one phrase, 17 seconds. You remember that? Yeah. They were going to lose, but all of a sudden. Think about how it's part of our Christian life. And then the song. I love to tell the story. For those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And so there's Peter sitting at the Last Supper, and Jesus turns and says to him, Simon, Simon, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. What's going on in Peter's mind? What? And so Peter protests. Oh yeah, he's got to protest. I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. That's right. Firm up the resolve. Be determined. Never turn aside. You can do this. We know how this works, don't we? The phrases come along. Intentional living. Intentional Christianity. Purpose-driven life. 40 days of purpose. Fill our minds and our hearts with prayer and with faith. Take the old Adam and, well, take the old Adam and like the guys in seminary used to say, shove him down in the waters of baptism till the bubbles start coming up. We can get rid of him. All over again. We know how it really works, don't we? Start out with the best resolve. Yeah. Oh, how are your New Year's resolutions going? Do you remember what they were? It's barely a month and a half. And Jesus speaks the truth, doesn't he? And so he speaks the truth to Peter, and Peter is there like a deer in the headlights. The rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me. Yeah. That's how it works. Back to the beginning, the measure of how good news actually is how bad the bad news was. And then Jesus says to Peter, but I have prayed for you. And we head into the catechism. Lead us not into temptation. What does this mean? God certainly tempts no one, but we pray in this petition that God would guard and protect us so that the devil, the world, and our flesh may not mislead or seduce us into unbelief, despair, and other great sin and shame. And though we are assailed by these things, that we may still finally overcome and keep the victory. And temptation. Peter was going to run into it. Temptation happens when the visible does not match up with what we think should be ours, and the blessings are set aside, and we are not sure what God is doing, and we're asked to trust Him, live by faith. Before we go back to Peter, there is a dual purpose in temptation. Like Peter, we are those who have given in to temptation. We start out with all kinds of good resolves and intentions and fall short, and we compromise living for God for the sake of our own comfort, our own hide. And God's law thunders, and God measures us. And His law becomes that mirror that will not hide any of our faults, flaws, sins, shortcomings, failures, and turning away from God. And we see them. So here comes the dual purpose. The devil uses those things and the tears of the conscience, and he tries to drive us away from God, and his purpose is to rob us of the ability to call God Father and to know that we are cared for, to hammer away at the conscience and to accuse. And as the devil carries on doing all of this, God continues to do His work, His plan. And His plan is to lead us through those things and to lead us into those things that remind us of His faithfulness, His forgiveness in Jesus, His promises, the life and salvation that He gives. And see, as we gain experience going through these things and seeing that God is always consistently faithful, we begin to learn trust. We begin to learn to believe the promises that He gives, even when we don't see, even through the temptation, and even when we completely fail and fall short. And the experience continues to be the teacher as God is faithful, as God forgives, as God calls us back. And we learn more and more how sweet the gospel is. That a Peter who wanders off and denies that he knows Jesus is preserved and kept and called back and welcomed and loved. And we go through this time after time of needing to hear that we are forgiven. Because time after time, all of those good intentions, all of those aiming high and striving for greatness in life and in spirituality, all of those end up with us admitting that we're sinners. Without anything to claim in front of God. And as that theme plays out in life, we find the other theme coming along, and the sound of that theme and the music of that song begins to grow louder and louder as we find that Jesus is still there, still gives the forgiveness, still speaks the sweet gospel, and we need to hear it. We need to hear it over and over and over again. I remember one professor in seminary telling us in class, he said, "Gentlemen, when you get into the parish, you will have... Why he picked on old men, I don't know. You will have older men coming to you and saying, Pastor, I have struggled with, I have fought against this one sin all my life, and I just can't seem to shake it. What is to become of me? Am I lost? And you remind them that the forgiveness that Jesus earned is theirs. And then you remind them again, and you remind them again, and you remind them again. For those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to know it like the rest. It becomes the sweet, sweet word of life, gospel of forgiveness, story of salvation, and we learn all our lives to love it. That's why Peter can't go anywhere else but to Jesus Christ, because he's found this out. It was the will of God to save us through the weakness and foolishness of the cross. And so Jesus said to Peter, "But I have prayed for you." And Jesus would take that prayer all the way to the cross. He would earn the answer to that prayer at the cross, paying for it with his own blood, suffering, and death. And because he earned it in that way, he earned the right and claims the right to hold Peter's life, Peter's faith, Peter's salvation in his own safe keeping. He is the Good Shepherd. And then he claims the right to hold our lives, our faith, our salvation in his own hands, by his own power. And again, he's the Good Shepherd. So there is your human brother, Jesus, who happened to be God, praying for you as he prayed for Peter. He ever lives to make intercession for us, to help and strengthen our faith and keep us. He is the Good Shepherd, and he has bound you to himself and bound himself to you. In Jesus' name, amen.